Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin. And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours. And I am joined, of course, tonight by my lady, my love, my partner, my wife, my bestest friend. Hey, Robin.
Hi, honey. How you doing this evening? I'm doing
pretty
well. Good here, although you're not here, so that's always a downer. But you know, a couple more days we'll be together again.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm looking forward to that. So hey, I'm just excited to get into tonight's show, and then we've got an announcement at the end that I'm looking forward to. You know, we've hinted at it, and I'll be looking forward to. Well, the full announcement coming at the end of the show. So everybody stay with us. We got a pretty cool, I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of a hint. We got a new show coming on, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that at the end of the show, end of tonight's show. So with that said, let's go ahead and get into the topic, because tonight's topic is pretty fun too. We are continuing our series on the components of ritual. And we're wrapping it up. I mean, tonight we're going to be talking about closing the space and ending the ritual. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about doing a final wrap up just on ritual in general. And so, as we get to the end of it, it's just, I look back and we've been, talking about everything from why having a ritual, why do we do ritual, to casting the circle, calling the quarters, invoking, what are we going to actually do, then how do we raise the energy to do it. And so there's been a whole lot as we have gone through this series, and again, we'll wrap up in a couple of weeks touching on some of the high points. Tonight we're going to be talking about closing the ritual. And my lady, would you go ahead and give your thoughts on all of this?
Well, whenever you get to the point in the ritual when you're ready to release the quarters, bring down the circle, you know, I always like to talk about the reasons we do this. There are some traditions that don't feel the need to relinquish the quarters. They don't, you know, say goodbye, basically, or see if, you know, stay if you will, go if you must kind of thing. They don't do that, feeling that, you know, once they've... Say that again?
I did not say a word.
Oh, I'm sorry. They feel that once they have completed their energy working, that there's no reason to send them on their way because the elementals leave with their charged energy. And, you know, that's a thought. That's stand why they might see it that way. Because I am a firm believer that it is the elementals often that help us with our energy work, our spell work, and things that we desire, the reason for the circle, if you will. And so if you're programming them, or I shouldn't say programming them, if you're giving them an assignment and sending them on their way with it when you release the energy that you've raised, it's sort of redundant at that point. However, most people get to that point in the ritual after they've done their working and they are ready to close it up, if you will, have an ending to it, because anything that has a beginning should have an end. At that point, that's when everybody will then say goodbye to the elemental, the watchtowers, whatever you want to call it, and then ultimately open or finish, however you want to, whatever terminology you're more comfortable with using, their circle. Do you have anything to add about that, Terry?
Well, no. I mean, I did want to also comment that we are. To me, it just seems polite. And I'm one of these people that I thank the god and I thank the goddess and I thank the elementals, and I thank all and the ancestors and all the assembled spirits and everything that has come to participate. It seems to me to be the polite thing to do, to say thank you and, you know, thank you for being here, thank you for helping, thank you for whatever, rather than just, you know, the party's over, everybody goes and nobody says bye or hi or anything else. It just, to me personally, that's the way I approach it, is kind of a thank you for your help kind of attitude.
Right. Yeah, agreed. The other thing is, the other thing is that when you're at that point in circle, you know, you can't have people in circle forever. There has to come an end to it, no matter how wonderful an experience it's been. And, you know, as you said, it's kind of polite to say goodbye to everybody. And so as the beginning of the ritual sort of sets people's minds for the ritual to be present, to be there, the ending of the ritual is really meant to sort of bring them down, ground them, bring them back to a normal, you know, status quo state rather than maybe their heightened awareness that they had during ritual and that they've you know, helped raise energy. And there's sometimes you feel kind of a buzz after that. And so that sort of coming out of ritual and saying goodbye to the quarters, again, it's like you know, you're it's the first step in taking off the robes and closing the circle down. Or, you know, whenever you do a meditation or a guided meditation, there's always that moment where the person says, okay, now I want you to take a deep breath and start to feel your toes and wiggle your fingers, and it's the same sort of thing. That's part of what the saying goodbye to the quarters is about, and the god and the goddess. And whatever else you may have called, you know, if you call chaos, if you call the ancestors, if you call spirit, whatever else you may have called. And then that way, you know, you're ending the circle, you're saying goodbye, you're bringing about the shift in consciousness that will be required for them to leave that place and go back to their, you know, normal everyday life. As sad as that seems sometimes, but it's necessary. We all have to go back to jobs and take care of our families and, you know, do the things that we need to do. And so that's the beginning of it, is the relinquishing quarters. Now, as to how you do this, everybody, of course, has their own way in how to do it. Some people merely just say the words, and that's enough for them. Other people have things they do internally. They picture a chakra closing. They picture a color, you know, blinking away in their mind. They have all kinds of ways of doing it. Some people doors in their mind. Some people, you know, visualize the element that you're speaking of going away. So, say, water would drain away or evaporate and dry up. Wind would die. The trees would stop having a breeze in them. However you want to visualize that, that's up to you. Or not. Some people, like I said, just say the words and don't attach anything to it. I have personally always felt pictures, symbols help us to do lots of things. And so if you can hold in your mind's eye that when the element is entering the circle, something is happening in your mind's eye. You're visualizing something, a door opening, or the breeze through the trees, something that speaks to you, a feather falling down through the air, something that speaks to you about that particular circle, then you can reverse it, whatever it is, shut that door, have the feather, you know, lift back up on the breeze and go away, whatever it is that's going to represent those things for you. The blowing out of candles on the altar. Some people need it to be even more physical, you know. So blowing out of candle or the snuffing with the candle snuffer of candles, putting out of incense, dousing a candle with water, however you want to do it. Whatever's going to make you feel the experience. And experiment with different ways of doing it. Because you might hit on something that you just love and this speaks to you in a better way. So don't be afraid to try different ways. Just because you've never seen other people do it that way doesn't mean it won't resonate with you. So always look for the things that appeal to you the most. And if you do see something in a big ritual that you think you might want to try, go for it. Nobody's going to know that you borrowed it from them, and even if they did find out, so what? So you liked it, big deal. You borrowed it. Won't be the first, and believe me, you won't be the last.
Yeah, well, you just tell them, thank you for such a great idea. I tried that at home. It worked.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, someone will be flattered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I learn a lot of things from watching other people and being in other people's circles and how something feels. You know, I've developed a lot of my technique just from, you know, different people's rituals. Some I've stumbled across, and a lot I have picked up as I've gained experience. You know, that's a great reason for going out into the community, going to other rituals, going to open rituals, going to rituals at festivals. Don't just go to the festival and not go to the rituals, because there's so many great ideas and experiences to be had in a large group ritual that you simply can't get until you experience it and see someone else's ideas. So, I like candles. I like torches outside. I mean, tiki torches in an outdoor circle are an amazing way to bring, candles. You know, a lot of us like, candles, and we have colored candle holders or colored candles that we use. I'm personally frugal, and so I had a set of colored candle holders that I got basically glasses from the craft store and glass paint, and painted the inside of the glasses with this transparent, I guess more appropriately, paint, and then a white candle in the holder, still the color. And I'm also prone to setting up a bunch of tiki torches with colored ribbons. And it works the same way. And you know, I'm one of those, like Robin was talking about, lighting a candle and snuffing out the candle. There's a visual, energetic presence with the fire, with the light of the candle or the torch. Mm-hmm. And I really find that meaningful with circle. And besides, there's nothing in the world more cool than a candlelit circle. And no other lights, evening outside with the fire pit and the torches being your only light. It's a very moving and magical kind of experience that I personally enjoy.
Sorry, it was too easy. Yeah, I think that whatever it is that you decide to do, you know, with ritual, it has to be something that speaks to you, and each individual is different. And as I said, you have to just keep trying different things and see what it is that resonates with you. And talk to people. And like Terry said, go to other people's rituals, see what they do. Doesn't mean you have to do what they do, but sometimes you can take inspiration from it. You know, it's like cooking out of a cookbook. You may not exactly like the recipe in the cookbook because, I don't know, maybe you don't like red peppers or you don't like onions or you don't eat Brussels sprouts, whatever it is, but you decide, you know what, instead of Brussels sprouts, I'm going to use broccoli. Instead of red peppers, I'm going to use green peppers. Instead of onions, I'll use shallots or, you know, leave them out altogether. It's what inspires you. What are you going to do to make that ritual yours?
Yeah, maybe there's too much leavening in those molasses cookies and you want to cut back on it next time, you know?
There you go, yeah. Yeah, we had an adventure in making molasses cookies over Christmas. That was interesting. A friend of mine had written down a recipe for me, and she was doing it from her memory. And suffice it to say that some of the ingredients, she missed the mark on how much of a thing to put in. So we had to make molasses cookies a couple of times before we actually got the recipe anywhere near correct. But it's still a work in progress, so we'll see how it continues to go. But that's exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes you have to fiddle with a thing to make it yours, to make it suit your tastes. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, we say all the time, this is an experiential religion.
Mm-hmm.
And each individual is going to find their experience, their way of doing things that suits their, their way of doing it, their feeling of spirituality, that interconnectedness. And mm-hmm. Don't let anybody tell you what you're doing is wrong. Because if it's working, it's right. May not be right for anybody else, but if it's working for you, it's right. So, those of us that do close down, like you said, there are some places, and I've been to some rituals where there was one ritual in particular that I had, anticipated doing the whole thanking the god and the goddess and thanking the everybody and everything that attended. And there was a moment of climax to the working that if I had gone further with anything else, it would have been anticlimactic. And in that moment, I chose to stop and the circle is open. And skipped all of those thank yous, because that would have really kind of drained off some of the impact of that climactic moment that I felt everyone in the circle moved by. In such a powerful way that in that moment I knew that anything else would have diminished the overall experience. So you're going to have times like that. You're going to have times when you don't, when you don't do the thank yous. But when you do, for myself, I typically you know, when we're calling, I call the quarters and I start in the east. And then when we're, and then I call the ancestors and then the god and the goddess. And depending on if it's a solar ritual, I call the goddess first and then the god. If it's a lunar ritual, I call the god first and then the goddess. And basically in order of priority for that ritual. And then when I say thank yous at the end, I go in verse order, in reverse order from the order of you know, the callings. Has that been typically your experience as well?
Yeah, people who do that generally do go in reverse order. You know, whatever was the first, the last thing that you invited is usually the first thing that you relinquish or you know, say goodbye to. There are a lot of people who use terminology for this as dismissing the quarters. And, you know, I understand what they're trying to say, but it implies control of that quarter, which I would be really, really careful about. You know, they come not because you control them, but because you've called them and they're your friend. It's just like calling up your best friend and saying, hey, can you come on over for a little while? I need some help. And that's how you need to be thinking about it. Your best friend might say, no, sorry, I'm busy. No, sorry, can't be there. If you don't treat that best friend, you know, well, then they may not show up at all. They may just ignore your phone call altogether and not answer the phone. So you've got to, you know, maintain a relationship with the quarters and the elementals. And, you know, this is all part of the work you need to do in order to do ritual. People think, oh, I can just call on the quarters and they'll show up. No, there's no guarantee. And again, you know, we were talking last time we had a conversation about ritual. Sometimes people go to these big rituals and they have absolutely no experience. They don't feel anything. They stood in circle. They said all the right things, but they don't understand what's going on around them because they didn't feel anything. And they don't understand when other people do actually feel it. And it's probably a sign that if other people are getting something out of a ritual, but you're not, probably means you need to work on your relationship with deity as well as with the elementals. One of the things that I think this we've spent this year really stressing in our teachings this year is getting back to the basics of having a relationship with the elemental beings, understanding your relationship with those elements and how important they are to us, why they're important to us. They play a huge part in ritual. They should be playing a huge part in your day-to-day practice. They should be part of your everyday. You should have a, you know, an altar in the house. You should. These are basics. And I am shocked and dismayed at how many students come to us who don't know anything about the elemental beings. They barely know that there is a difference between calling the elements in circle and calling the elemental beings and having a relationship with them in circle. This is not being taught, and I don't know why. I am baffled by it. That and chakra stuff and dealing with your chakras, and that's also not being taught, which is another thing we also focused on this year, was trying to get people back to the idea that you have chakras that need to be you need to know your chakras. You need to do working with them. You need to understand that when you're doing ritual, your part of that is opening your chakras to let the energy flow. So, make
and
sure.
That's a foreshadowing of some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about in the coming year.
Yeah. Yeah.
More specifically, and show topics.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, you know, when you're closing the circle, then your final act after you've relinquished all the quarters is the actual, you know, what's the poem you always use?
Well, the circle is open but not broken, or never broken, or however you say it.
Yeah.
Mary Mead Mary part, and Mary shall we meet again.
Right. Now, that's that classic sort of very Wiccan poem that a lot of people use. I don't, but I have something else I say in ritual. You don't have to use that terminology. Write your own rituals. However, if you write it down, don't read it. We've stressed this as well this year. You've got to speak from your heart without a script to the gods and goddesses. You should have an idea in your mind what it is you want to talk about, what it is you need to get across. You need to have your intent clear in your mind and in your heart. But let the words flow out of you, because you'll do much more effective ritual if you do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and one of the things that surprises me that, you know, Robin was hinting at was the connection with the elementals and understanding the associations, why do we call this elemental in this direction? And you know, while Robin and I have some differences of opinion about that, and we both understand each other's point of view, not knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it is really counterproductive. If you don't understand why the direction is this color and why that elemental is being called from that direction and whatever, then it's hard to call that quarter, call on that elemental, if you don't really understand what you're saying. So when Robin's talking about if you write it down, don't say it and don't read it in circle.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand what it means, why you're doing that particular thing. And again, Back to Basics is a series of shows that we're going to do in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when we're talking about closings, ending the circle tonight, thanks and all of that. So we'll not go back to, the callings. We'll cover that again at another time. Now, even Robin using the word relinquish the quarter still, to me, is more very much like dismissal. And that's why I usually just talk about thanking the assembled spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, like Robin, am very conscious to not use words that invoke or evoke an idea of control.
Right.
I don't, I don't demand the presence of anything in circle. I ask for, certain elementals, certain spirits, certain gods and goddesses to join me in circle, to assist me in my work. But I certainly am not in a position to demand anything. So the endings are thank you for your help. It's certainly not anything that has any idea that I had control over the situation to begin with. And that's why I'm very conscious just to talk about thank yous and closings and stuff like that. Because we have to keep in mind that relationship that we develop with these spirits, with these elementals, with these, manifestations of the divine, that is the key to our working. And how we treat our friends and our allies really is going to speak to how effective we are at whatever goals we set. So that attitude is very important. And
mm-hmm.
being conscious of the wordings. So Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we go to the song break? Because we're already at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, I saw that. No, I'm good.
All right. Well, I'm in kind of a playful mood tonight. And I was talking with someone about our friends Brad and Teresa earlier today.
Uh-huh.
And it got me thinking about this song. So in case you have not already guessed, I'm going to play one of my favorite songs by one of our favorite artists. And we're going to hear Wreck of the Modern Pagan by Murphy's Midnight Rounders. Sit back, enjoy the song, have a couple of chuckles, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stick around.
Plastic handles, ninja swords, and simulated crystal orbs in unread print of Raise Big Blue. He'll teach young women what he knows if they take off all their clothes and spiral dance into his bedroom. She won't say marry me because she's a vegetarian. She's afraid it violates the reed. She only reads Fiona Horn and believes she is reborn from an ancient Pictish queen. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Pixelated motherboards and three-pronged grounded power cords is coming in the chat room on Yahoo. His high priest is in NYC, his priestess is in Germany. The court is called from no one has a clue. They read their screens by candlelight, and each one does his own great rite consisting of the alternate keys. As seven scribes a circle round, and S8 takes the circle down, S9 types a hearty blessed be.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Why do people laugh his way and shake their heads and walk away when he says he's a Virgo through and through? He wants to study Salima and the mystic Kabbalah, but Hebrew words are giving him the blues. He understands the Sephiroth from Kether down to Yetzirah. He even knows what's meant by 661. He won't call his tradition witchcraft. It's more like H.P. Lovecraft. All hail the Necronomicon.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All he wears is gothic black, and tattooed on his gothic back, the scene of Jesus hanging on the cross. The reference is cursory, and hanging from his rosary, a pentacle he says that someone lost. He only listens to death metal, cause he says it's spiritual. He wants to play guitar like Jimmy Page. Mom's patient with his attitude, her past is strictly druid. She hopes that he'll come around someday.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong. He learned his sense of history from RPGs like D&D. He thinks Gary Gygax is a god. His paladin keeps getting trounced by wizard clerics who jump out and turn his +2 arrows into mud. the magic that he learns from books like D&D and Terry Brooks he tried to use in Circle once or twice. Last time he woke up in a funk, in a Mitsubishi trunk, 'cause demons really don't play nice. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He's TOS and OTO and BTW Borneo. His voodoo priestess grew up in KC. Says his first is Frostian, his second is Arthurian, his third he got while studying Reiki. He reads books by Bonowitz, Gramsci, and the Budapest, in volumes signed by Raven Silver Moon. His path may seem a bit deranged, eclecticism is his game. I think he's added Baptist in there too.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong. The Viking path's a one for him, and it's just not a silly whim. His great, 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 great granddad did it too. His songs use funny sounding words. 1,000 years they ain't been heard, and some of them are written in ancient runes. He looks upon Paganistan as something to be conquered, and his horn is always filled with meter brew. He laughs at silly pagan folk and thinks he knows more than the Pope. His Mjolnir stuck right up his ass, it's true. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you're listening to The Power Hours with Terry and Robin. How you doing over there, darling?
I'm doing really good.
All right. So, before the break, we were just talking about closing the circle and thanks, and and thanking all the spirits and entities that we invited into the circle. And we talked some about understanding what we were doing and why we were doing it. But also, it seems like a good time now to talk about a few ways to specifically do that. Some specific techniques for saying thank yous. You mentioned at the very top of the show the stay if you will, go if you must kind of formula, which is good because it gives an indication that we're not in control. We're not commanding. And for that reason, I tend to like the attitude of that formula. And while it may be formulaic, by definition, it does impart a certain idea that, we are grateful and, not in control. We invited and people, entities attended, and we're thanking them for their presence and telling them, hey, it's time to go. We're all finished. And, thank you. So what are your thoughts on that? Or any other thoughts on techniques?
Technique is a really difficult question because everybody, I encourage people to find their own way. I can show them what I do. I can teach them what I do. But what I do may not work for them. So try different techniques, try different things, and see how it's going to go for you and what's going to appeal to you. I work in a very different way than most people I know, because that's what worked for me and it was how I got my experience. I really think that if you're somebody who wants to do ritual and needs to get better at ritual, just like anything else, you need to practice. You need to do it, even if it means cutting your teeth and throwing yourself into the role of high priestess for a bunch of your friends, or as I did, having full moon open circles somewhere with people you don't know. And everybody gets to have an experience. Everybody gets to practice. Everybody gets to, find what things work for them. The idea is to have a direct experience with your deity, with your elementals. You can't do that unless you have ritual. And ritual should always have a purpose. And to me, that's about as technique sensitive as it should get. Know what you want to do, practice it, and, the more you practice, the better off you're going to be. And that's how you're going to develop your techniques, the things that work for you.
Yeah, I cut my teeth in much the same way you did. Open rituals on a beach in Florida.
Yeah.
With a lot of people that I didn't know, and a lot of times it turned into a teaching ritual because there were people that were curious about what we were doing, wanted to know more. And so there ended up being a whole lot of conversation before about what we were going to do, conversation after as to what we did and why we did it. And so I developed a great deal of my, technique and experience from that experience, from working with a lot of different people. Some had some ideas. Some were, completely newbies. And over time, we developed a small group that worked together. And, that was kind of a cool way of doing it. You know, like you were saying, find a group of people and start working.
Mm-hmm.
Practicing small group ritual will really add to your personal experience, your level of experience, not just the experience that we get from the ritual, but the
mm-hmm.
experience that we get over time developing our technique, developing our connection to the divine. If you spend time with your friends, you develop that friendship. And spending time in ritual is how we develop that relationship, or one of the ways that we develop our relationship with the divine
right.
and all the other entities. Robin had mentioned, seeing a door close or snuffing out a light or candle. I've even seen people that had indoor permanent ritual space that actually had columns built with lamps built into them so they could just flip off the switch. The idea is to see and feel that light going away. See the water drying up or whatever it is. If you see the elemental as a anthropomorphized or whatever the word is, I look forward to your letters. But if you see a humanish form come in when you call, see that same entity leave when you give your thanks. I know people that see magical animals at each of the quarters. Seeing the departure helps to move that energy and to return the space to normal space. Because remember back when we talked about it, we cast the circle to create a space that is out of space and out of time. And we have to return that to a certain degree to normal space. Even if it will continue to resonate and continued rituals in the exact same place, will ultimately charge that space to a degree where there's a kind of constant resonance, energetic sensation within that space. But returning that space and all the people to normal space is a part of the closing of the ritual and seeing a departure visually in your mind's eye helps to helps to get that idea to sink in.
Very true.
So, I guess we're just about at the time where I think we've kind of wrapped up what we had. Let's talk about how people get in touch with us. We'll talk a little about the schedule. We'll come back for some final thoughts. And then we will thank all of our friends for being here.
If anybody would like to get in touch with myself or with Terry you want to send us an email, you can email us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Facebook at the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page, as well as our individual pages, which are Robin A. McKean or Rev. Terry Power HP. And those are like the best ways to reach us. Oh, excuse me.
Sorry about that. We'll go ahead at that point and Just say that there's the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page. And you can also follow me on Twitter at RevTerryPowerHP. So thanks again for everybody who is with us tonight. Let's see some programming notes. And I guess a drum roll here. Yay! On the 15th of this month, on Sunday night, we will have a new show launching on this network called The Emerging Forest. And the host will be Alan Ritter. He will be with us on the 12th under the Shady Tree, and we will talk about his show. And then on the 15th, he will begin his show. And he kind of approaches life and nature all together. I'm not going to give away too much because I want him to tell everybody about it on the 12th. But we are really excited. I had several conversations with him, gone over a lot of show notes. And his approach to spirituality is exciting. His approach to life is exciting. And so we are very much looking forward to welcoming him to our Spiritual Unity Radio Network family of hosts. Let's see. Two nights from tonight, on the 5th, is the first Thursday of the month. And that is our open topic night. And you're going to have to tune in Thursday to see what Robin and I have in mind. It could be a topic of our choosing. It could be something about the news of the day, or it could be an Askowitz show. You never know what you're going to get. This is our one night a month to play. So tune in on Thursday night and see what we're up to. A week from tonight is our full moon ritual on the 10th. And then 2 weeks from tonight is the wrap up to this series of shows all about ritual and the components and what and why and how and everything else. And then on the 24th, we will be talking about interfaith dialogue and how to speak the language of interfaith in a way that is approachable and opens doors rather than slamming them shut. Always on Monday nights, you want to listen to Voice of Olympus with Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory. And on Wednesday nights, you want to listen to Dax as he talks about economics and the spiritual path. So starting on the 15th, we will actually be on the air five nights a week with the Emerging Forest, Voice of Olympus, The Powers Hour, Economics and the Spiritual Path, and Under a Shady Tree, all five nights a week, every night at 9 o'clock. And we're still looking for ways to get back to seven nights a week. So keep tuning in, keep listening, keep supporting what we're doing here. All of this is for our listeners, and we are honored that you all take time from your lives to spend it with us. Thank you. Final thoughts on closing down a ritual. I'm going to throw my 2 cents worth in, probably a repeat of some stuff we've already said. And then I'm going to ask my lady for her final thoughts. It all comes down to feeling it. We use the word experience or experiential, but what it comes down to is a feeling. Something in your heart and in your body that you sense, that you feel. Some people see, some people feel. Whatever one of the senses is touched by this experience, learn what that is. And that learning comes from doing. Some people may hear. Whatever. I mean, we've got five physical senses, and to a certain degree, any or all of them can be touched with practice. Learn what it is that works for you and develop that, and learn to develop a relationship. The entities we deal with are real, they're separate, they're distinct. And developing that relationship is critical to the success of our work. And in my opinion, it has been for me, it's critical in my success at life. Because I really don't spend a whole lot of time differencing between magical and real life. It's a spiritual life I walk. And the closer we get to that, the more successful we will be at all of our endeavors. So those are my final thoughts, my lady.
Well, yeah, I think that ritual is part of how we improve ourselves. And, you know, somebody recently asked me, why is it so important that we continue to always work on ourselves and try to be the best persons, you know, people we can be? Why is that so important on this path? It's important because if we can make ourselves better, in turn, we put out a better vibe to the universe and we make the people around us better. And that's what it takes, is these little drops of good to lift us all. So it's my responsibility to my public, to the public that, you know, I interact with on a daily basis, to my family, and to myself, not to sell myself short, to be the best person I can be. Doesn't always mean I'm going to be perfect. It just means that on any given day, I'm going to try to be the best person I can be today. Tomorrow, it might be better. Tomorrow, it might not be as good. But today, be the best person I can be. And through rituals, through self-knowledge, through communing with yourself and with deity, and having that direct link, this is part of the way that we move forward on our path. We become better people. It's when people stagnate and they stop and they get stuck on things that malfunction happens. Alcoholism, drug addiction, you know, any of the self-destructive behaviors that you can think of, there are lots. Those are not the only two by any stretch of the imagination. But keep moving forward. You keep striving to be better. You know, and ritual is a great way to remind yourself of that, to spend energy doing it. You know, there's this old saying that if you hang around with people who have lifestyles and who do what you want to do, you'll be able to do what you want to do because they will pull you along with them. And it's the same thing. Yeah, and it's the same thing with ritual. If you practice ritual, it will remind you and it will constantly reinforce your goals and help you to stay on the track. Stay on the path that you need to be on to be the best you can be. That is our responsibility. It's what we want of our own children, isn't it? To be the best them they can be, not to sell their potential short. What do you think the gods want of us? Seems to make sense. We are their children.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, darling, for always being here with me.
You're very welcome, sweetheart. It's my pleasure.
Thanks to all of our listeners. Again, thank you all for supporting us, keeping this going for 2.5 years. We are honored, and we are looking forward to starting a new calendar year, a new solar year with a whole lot of exciting stuff happening here at the network. So stay with us, keep tuning in, and With that, we will wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.